Hey, good morning, Mill City Church. So great to gather together. I love worshiping together. And when we worship and we study the scripture specifically together, that is in two locations. Right now we are linked together by the power of technology and the internet, which is pretty amazing. And so Remington, if you'd give a big warm hello and welcome to Harmony. And Harmony, if you give a warm welcome to Remington. Yeah. We love what God is doing in our house, and we believe that we are better together. Before I jump into the talk, I also just want to remind everybody that we are two-thirds of our way through 21 days of prayer and fasting. And these last couple of weeks have been just really incredible. I just received a story from somebody recently who said, I've been praying for, and I wrote on one of the cards that has been getting prayed for every day, for a friend who has stage 4 cancer. And after us praying for her, she went into the doctor, and the scans and everything are coming back like dramatically and miraculously different. And so when we pray, God works. We don't always know how, not necessarily in our timelines and all those things, but prayer matters. And so encourage you to come this last week. These weekdays, Monday through Friday, it's 5 to 6 p.m. right here. And you can bring family, bring the kids. We have prayer guides for kids. And then Saturday is the finale. And that's from 10 to 11 at our Harmony location. And if you've been to all one or none of the weekday prayer gatherings up to that point, make it a point to be at the finale. We want to end 21 days on a bang, and we also want it to be a launching pad into the rest of the year. So make sure to schedule around and make plans for that. So if you've ever been through a cemetery and maybe seen a tombstone or tombstones, they come in various shapes and sizes, and the smaller ones might have a small phrase on it, bigger ones might have a long quote, things like that. But I've never seen one that says Bob and the dates of his life, 5-time Employee of the Month award winner. I've never been to a funeral, and I've been to a couple recently, and officiated one recently, where somebody gets up to give the eulogy or some sort of remembrance and says, Bob graduated summa cum laude from such and such university, and then he went on to work in this company. He was promoted faster than anyone else. He was the president of the Rotary Club, fully funded 401k. Just so grateful for Bob. No, of course not. Those are not the things that you read on a tombstone, nor the things that you hear at a funeral. There's a book called The Road to Character by David Brooks, and he calls the comparison eulogy virtues versus resume virtues. The things that are said about someone at a funeral, that they were a good father or a loving husband, and they were kind or generous, and they're virtues that are expressed in that way. And resume virtues are where you went to school and the awards that you've won and the accomplishments and the experience you've had. In our culture, whether through education or social media, even conversations, the career and resume virtues are reinforced. Conversations that are regularly, what do you do and what have you been doing? And our culture neglects eulogy virtues, spending and giving energy to cultivating a career or just even an image, and not a whole lot of energy towards cultivating a strong inner life. And so because of that, that's why we're in this series called Foundation, where we're talking about the things that are underground that we don't see and that aren't sexy and that aren't fun to look at. When you build a building, you put in a foundation and you cover it up. And then you build something on top of it. We love looking at the things that are above ground, but we're talking about doing underground work in an above ground world. So these last couple of weeks, we've been talking about some habits that are valuable and necessary to point us in the right direction. Habits like fasting and like prayer, and there's many others. But these types of habits help us and send us in a particular direction. They're like rebar within the concrete that is a reinforcement. Because our habits do something and say something about how we are formed and where we will go. If we have bad habits, that will lead us towards something. If we have good habits, that will lead us towards something else. And today I want us to talk about decisions and the decisions we make. Now, we make decisions all the time, every day. Financial decisions, relationship decisions, dating decisions, education decisions, family decisions, schedule decisions, what to wear decisions. I mean, they start in the beginning of the day and they don't end, and it's hundreds and hundreds, and sometimes they're tiny, sometimes they're in the middle, and sometimes they're huge. But the decisions that I just described are all above ground. Those are the things we see, those are the things that happen. But there are actually things underground in our lives. There's something in the foundation of who we are that gives direction to those decisions. That is a rudder, or it's in our core. It's a principled sense of, I make this decision not because everyone else is going this way, or I make this decision not because nobody else is going this way, but because of something that gives direction to the decisions that I make. And so I want us to take time and start off in Luke chapter 1 to talk about this a bit. In verse 26, it says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Now, for some of you, are like, because it's January, and this, you're like, this is a Christmas passage. But track with me here. You don't just read the Christmas story in December, all right? It has just as much amazing things here in January and every other month of the year. So let's keep going. Verse 28. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Now, if you're familiar with the scripture or come to church on a regular basis or around on Christmas Eve and those and then the Christmas holiday, then you're like, yeah, okay, that's how the story starts. But I'd like for us to zoom out a little bit. And maybe if you're new to the Bible or new to church, you would have this type of response, where you would read that and you would say, "What? Now, wait a second. What just happened here? An angel comes to a woman, tells her she's going to get pregnant. That's it? Like, we just breeze past that? And that quick, Mary? Like, one simple question and okay, yes? I get more questions when I ask if my kids have brushed their teeth or not. She's being told she's going to be impregnated by the Holy Spirit. And she has one question. "So how does this work? Because I'm a virgin." What about Joseph? You know, like my fiance? Like, what about him? Like, this is going to make that really awesome. I just don't know how this is going to go. Or like, where's the why me? Or the, can you explain that again and maybe go into a little more detail? Or the, I got some plans. Is this like now? Or do like, I have some time to plan for that moment and then I have 9 months from there? Or how does this work? And you might say, well, Aaron, she was standing there in front of a Gabriel, the angel. I'm not sure if I heard this from the Queen of England or Spider-Man that I wouldn't be thinking, I got a few more questions. Like, and she gives the Wesley from Princess Bride, as you wish response. So I wonder if there wasn't something inside of Mary that was already there that said, okay, I am your servant. May your will to me be fulfilled. I want to ask a question of you and for me, and this is my challenge for us, is will you settle your yes to God and whatever he asks? Can we be more like Mary? And I believe that it requires that we settle it ahead of time, that we would settle our yes to God, that if God asks us to do something, if we're reading through the scripture and we come across something that is different than the way that we're going, that our response to that would be yes. Now, the reason I believe that we need to pre-decide our decision is because in the heat of the moment, when you get emotional and you have a pretty significant experience, like an angel coming and talking to you, or a divorce, or financial pressure, or whatever might be where the emotions are high, we make crazy decisions and we do crazy things in those moments. But one of the things that will keep us on some sort of track, one is people around us, and two is a core that is built into the foundation that doesn't say, I'm just going to now make a decision based on the craziness of my emotions and the circumstances around me. I love what the psalmist says in Psalm 40, verse 8, where he says, I take joy in doing your will, my God. And I believe that until we can say, I take joy in doing your will, my God, that we will struggle saying yes to God, especially in high anxiety and high pressure situations. And so can we establish something in the foundation of our lives that say, when I hear something or some sort of direction from God, I understand his ways are different than my ways. I am going to say yes to him because I've settled it. So is that our filter? Is that the rudder that directs our decisions? Or when a job comes along, do we think, this furthers my plan, or this furthers what I want my life to look like, or this is better benefits, here I go. Or am I asking God, what do you have to say about this? At dating, what's the filter? Is it, she's hot, Aaron, she's hot. I mean, that's the filter. Well, so is hell. So, I think there's a better filter and rudder for our lives. I mean, think of the things that might have been going through Mary's mind. Maybe they weren't, but I would imagine that this might be, and I think this might be if I were her. I am going to look so foolish. I'm engaged to JoJo, and we're not married yet, and if I'm going to be pregnant before that date, who knows what's going to happen to that, and I'm going to be foolish before him and all the people in the town, and I don't know. This is going to, what is everyone else going to think, and I'm going to be embarrassed, and it's going to be awkward, and people are going to be like, so, Mary, but are we willing to be foolish to say yes to Jesus? When he encourages us to invite our coworker to church, and we're thinking, but what if he says no, and then he tells everybody else, and then I'm kind of like ostracized or somehow feel embarrassed? Or the encouragement to tell my neighbor about Jesus or what Jesus has done in my life. I don't know, I don't want to, like, it could be embarrassing, it could be awkward, I don't want to step on any toes, I don't want to ruffle any feathers. Or maybe she was thinking, I don't know where this goes. I don't know where this leads. I don't know how this is going to turn out. You know, like what happens if, I mean, I'm going to have a hard time talking to JoJo about this. So if that breaks up, and he's such a good dude, I really like him, and my parents like him, and this was going to, we have plans, and but that could fall apart, and if that doesn't fall apart, like what our reputation will be, or at least my reputation will be, and his reputation for whoever they think is the father, and how's this going to go, and I don't know where that's going to lead, and that's going to upset the fruit basket, and how's this going to turn out, and I'm not sure how this will go. I mean, I've got wedding plans. I've got a dress to pick out. JoJo hasn't picked out his tuxedo yet. We've got flowers, music. I mean, we've got so much to do. I don't know how this is going to turn out, and that's going to kind of interrupt my plans. And I don't know what to do here because I don't know where it's going to go. If I say yes, I'm not sure where it leads. A little over eight years ago, Jossie, my wife, and I, and our four boys, happily serving in ministry as a college pastor there. I thought that I was going to do college ministry for the rest of my life. I was going to be the oldest, coolest, best college pastor you've ever seen. And then God started to unsettle some things in our lives. He started to move us. He started to push on us. And we started to know that something was up. And it became clear to us that he was moving us, and we were going to close the chapter where we were, that God was going to open a new chapter of church planting in a new city. And when we realized and determined that it was going to be Fort Collins, we thought, I don't know where this is going to lead. I don't know anybody here. And I'm entering into and endeavoring to do something that is an 80% failure rate. Like, why would I go there? How is this going to work? I don't know how this is going to turn out. I don't know where this is going to lead. But Jossie and I, throughout that process, basically became clear, exceedingly clear, that we had two options. Yes or no. And we chose yes. And I'm so glad we did. So I don't know what it is that God is leading you towards that you don't know how it's going to turn out. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a location. Maybe God is leading you to engage your story in a deeper way. Maybe God is leading you to deal with some points of pain in your past that you're like, oh, I don't know. If I go there, I don't know where it goes. I don't know where it leads. I don't know how that's going to turn out. Or are you willing to say, yes, I'll go there? Maybe the other thing that might flow through your mind in this type of scenario is, well, I just don't have time. I mean, that's a great idea. I don't have time for that, though. And it doesn't really work into my schedule. Maybe God is encouraging you to lead a city group, or maybe he's encouraging you to join a city group and establish the strength of community around you. You're like, oh, that sounds like a great idea, but I just can't. Soccer. I feel like God's asking me to engage in a greater way and serve, join the lift team, but it just doesn't work for me. I have golf. And we've got all these things that sometimes swirl through our heads and through our minds. That would be the reasons that maybe we would say, well, I don't know, maybe, or maybe later. And so my desire for each of one of us and for us as a house is to be a yes house. Over the last couple of years, as we've gone through 21 days of prayer and fasting, the Lord has regularly dropped a word or a couple of words on my heart to give direction or a word for our house. And usually it takes all 21 days before it kind of gets nailed down. But I've had something stirring in my heart for the last couple of months, and actually it was like confirmed right at the very beginning of 21 days. And it's the word yes, that we would settle our yes to Jesus. So for Mill City, this is the year of yes, that we would be a people that would say yes to Jesus. Now, I know that there are a lot of things in our world that are vying for our yes. May I be clear that what I'm talking about is saying yes to Jesus, not yes to opportunity, yes to everything that's requested of you, yes to every demand placed on your life. Maybe those line up. But this is about saying yes to Jesus. Yes to his ways. And then as we maybe engage this, not just today, but in the days and weeks to come, I think it's important for us to keep in mind, how open and willing am I to God's direction and will for my life? Ignatius of Loyola in the 1400s and 1500s talked about a prayer of indifference. And this prayer of indifference was about a radical openness to the will of God. I think it's important that we're open and honest about our indifference, whether how radically open and willing we are to the plans and directions of God. Now, some of you might be saying, like, Aaron, this is a great idea. I'm mostly on board. I love this, but I can't quite make that final full step. And the reason is because of how you view God. See, our ability to say yes to God has everything to do with our image of God. See, if we think of God as a taskmaster, or harsh, or out not for, gives us something to do, or points us in a particular direction because we think he just likes to see us suffer or tries to induce pain in our lives. But if we, then we're gonna have a hard time saying yes. But if we see God as trustworthy, as generous, as gracious, loving, kind, having our best interest, our good, now it may not line up with what we think is our best interest, but his best interest, which is our best interest in mind, and his glory, if we believe that and we say, okay, I don't know where this goes. I don't know how this works out. I don't know if I'm going to feel foolish in this or not. I don't know if I have time for this or not, but I just say yes to this. I'm going to rearrange my schedule. I'm willing to embrace the awkwardness and the foolishness. I'm willing to go and not know exactly where I'm going because I trust you. Because you're a good and perfect father. Because you're not a harsh taskmaster. You're actually a loving, caring, generous, wants to see my good for your glory. And I'm all about that. So yes to you. But until we settle that, I believe our yeses will be yeses with strings attached. They'll be like, yeah, I'll do that if you do this. Or I'll do it on one condition. Or I'll do it if it fits my plans. Or I'll do it when I understand. Let me understand. I don't have one question. I'm not like Mary. I actually don't even have five questions. I've got 1,500 questions. And then maybe when I understand the whole thing, then I'll take a step of yes. But see, God is wanting yes people that will say yes with no strings attached. We want to be a yes people that say yes, even if I don't understand, even if I don't know where I'm going, even if I don't know why. One, because I trust God, and because I say, yes, I'm in, no strings attached. So there's been a song that's been an anthem for me over these last couple of months in reinforcing and embracing this idea. The song is called Just Want You. There's a line in the song that says, if you're not in it, I don't want it. And so I want us to sing that together. So if you would, at both locations, let's stand up together and let's sing this together and make this an anthem and let's make it a declaration and even a prayer for our lives. That's the line. That's the truth. God, if you're not in it, I don't want it. Which on the flip side is, if you're in it, I want it. And that's what being a follower of Jesus is all about. See, success for Jesus was doing what God wanted. So if we're followers or apprentices to Jesus, then success for us is doing what God would want us to do. If we're to be like Jesus, do what Jesus did, then that means that settling our yes to God and His direction, His requests, His ways. It's setting something into the core of the foundation of who we are as followers of Jesus. And so I want to take a moment and pray for everybody in our house. And I want to pray really a prayer of surrender, because that's ultimately what this is all about. To say yes when we don't understand is a statement of surrender. I surrender my needing to understand, to follow you because I trust you. I surrender my plans and what I thought, or the direction I thought it was going to go, for your plans and the direction you have for things to go. I surrender. And for maybe some of you here today, maybe you find yourself in church for the first time, or the first time in a long time. Maybe you find yourself far from God, or maybe you've just bought into the mantra of the culture that says, do what feels best to you. That if you feel it deeply enough, then that must be the direction and the gauge for truth and the gauge for how things are, where you're supposed to go. You direct your own path. Though that's the mantra of the culture, the mantra of Jesus is that we follow Him, that He knows best, that we trust Him and His leadership and direction for our lives. And so maybe you're here today and maybe you've never said yes to Jesus as a statement of surrender and as a statement of belief that I put my faith and my trust in you. I don't put my trust in my feelings. I don't, as the director of my life, I don't put my trust in me as the director of my life. But I put my trust in you and I say yes to you. And if that's you here today, can I just encourage you, maybe under your breath, to say to God, God, I give you my life. I surrender to you. I want to ask that everybody would open up their hands just like this towards heaven. And I want to take a moment and pray for each and every one of us. Wherever you find yourself on your spiritual journey, maybe just in that moment you said yes to Jesus for the first time. Maybe you've been walking with Jesus for decades. I believe there's areas of our lives, maybe that we're not aware of, that God's looking for greater places of freedom, life, and surrender. And so my prayer is, Holy Spirit, first of all, would you help us? Would you lead us towards places of surrender? Because it is in places of surrender that we find life. When we surrender our lives and our will to you, we find life in you and your ways. And so, Holy Spirit, would you illuminate the areas of our lives that maybe we're unaware of that we need to surrender to you? God, would you help us surrender the areas maybe we are aware of, but have a pretty tight grip on? We'll surrender some areas, but we've got some other areas that it's pretty tough to let go. Wherever we find ourselves and whatever it is, God, would you speak to us? Would you help us to hear your voice? We're so grateful that when you illuminate something, you ask something of us, you're not asking us to do it on our own strength. You actually, in fact, fill us with your Holy Spirit and empower us, partner with us to do what you've asked us to do. And so, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We ask you to help us in the journey of surrender. This we pray in the powerful, death-defeating, generous, trustworthy, loving name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Yeah.